Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, listening to a brand new episode of Gamertag Radio. This is your host, Danny, and also joining me this week, we have Pete. What's going on, Pete?
Yo, what's up, dude?
And also Paris.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good, man. You know, this is like the last recording together right before E3 2019. Are you guys excited or what?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, you know, even before we just started recording, we were reminiscing from the 2013 E3, like some of our reactions after the press conferences. And all I got to say is that Microsoft one was pretty prophetic, if that's the correct word I should be saying. Because, look, Danny, I freaking called it immediately after. That's all I'm saying. Everything I said was the truth. Everything.
Hey, I said the same thing.
No, like, you were fighting it tooth and nail to the death. You were fighting. Yeah, no, it's like, okay. Everything's okay. Don't look at the man behind the curtain. It's okay. $500 for a shit camera is okay. That's what you're saying.
Here's the thing. It's okay. Relax.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. All the things that I released during the past, I don't know, 14 plus years, I'm not going to change my opinion.
No, of course not.
I said it. I was hype about Sunset Overdrive, and I love that game so much, you know, so I'm not going to change my opinion just because, oh, Paris was right, or, you know. Remember too, man, like, at the moment, we don't, there's probably things that you were saying back then that you were, like, totally wrong probably too, man. It's like, you know.
Not that recording. Like,
but I'm talking about just a lot of other things that you were like, well, you know what?
No, why are you deflecting from the topic? Now he's taking it into something we're not even talking about. Well, I'm sure in the 8 years that we've been doing this, you said something that was wrong. Of course I have. We all do.
Hey, yeah. So that's it.
All I'm saying is about Xbox One, I was right because I came out of that press conference saying $500 is too much. Where are the games? Yeah. And that's going to be the death of the system. And I was right. That's all.
And you don't mention the letter I wrote right after that, but after E3.
Again, deflecting. Why are you deflecting?
But remember, I wrote a letter to Don Matrick, and like a week later he bounced. So I'm like, okay, that letter didn't.
But why did you write it though? Why did you write it though?
Because I think at that time, I remember that we were not only us, but like nobody in the community was getting access to Xbox. It was all mainstream media.
No, that was not the reason you wrote that letter.
But I'm just saying, I wrote that letter for him to go to a community website for an interview. I'm serious, because we were all pissed with the way how the messaging was so confusing at that time. So we're like, if you really want to send that message to the consumers, go to somebody's website or YouTube. Like, I feel like they were just concentrating so much on just the mainstream, and they lost that communication with the community, man, back then, man, you know?
So your letter was well-meaning, but did you really think that Don Matrick was going to go to YouTube or go to GamertagRadio.com and look and try to get a look and feel for what the community was trying to do
at that time? Well, I tell you this
about this letter? That's what I want to know, because that's not what this is about. This is about E3. This is about post E3. It's about in the moment at E3, and you're taking it after E3.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is everything that came out of that press, again, the whole point we're trying to bring up with this, If you go back, we have reactions right after the Xbox press conference and reactions right after the PlayStation press conference, which was in like a 3 to 4 hour time frame, right? And it's amazing to hear. We walk out of the Xbox One, it was almost like a depression, except for you, because you were in full defense mode. And
I was depressed after PlayStation.
PlayStation, just we were, because we assumed the fact that Xbox One was $500, we're like, all right, well, the whole DRM thing, well, PlayStation must be doing it too. And then what do we find out like 4 hours later? Actually, PlayStation is not doing that at all. It's $100 cheaper. There's no used game DRM thing. And I said it then, and I still say it now. That's what won them that generation. I literally said it right after we walked out of PlayStation. I go, it's over. It's already over right now because it's $100 cheaper. And you argued that forever. I told you that camera was going to be the death of the Xbox One. And look, the whole point of me saying this is look where we are now, 2019. Xbox has obviously rehabilitated themselves to the point that we're walking into this 2019 Xbox media briefing with a lot of hope and excitement. Because we can see the future and the potential of what they're going to do. But it has literally taken them the entire generation to get to this point. And one thing about going into 2019 E3 media briefing that we still have to see are the games. Because that's been their number one problem. They fixed the price thing pretty quickly. But the games has still been their Achilles heel as we now start to go into the next generation. And I'm very hopeful that they fix it.
And we're going to be talking about that later on.
Yep.
So, all right. So head over to GamertagReader.com. Post your comments and feedback. If you still want to hit me up about my comments from 2013, go over there and let let us know. Also hit me up or hit us up on Twitter, Facebook. Just look for Gamertag Radio. And you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're heading out to E3. This Saturday, we're going to LA. And our content is going to start, I believe, that Sunday. There's going to be a couple things happening, like pre-E3 stuff. And we're going to be posting content. And then Tuesday, well, actually, Monday is going to be a crazy day for us because that's like an all-day thing for us. Pete, right? Monday is going to be very, very packed like with our schedule for that day.
Right? Actually, if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to remember. There's for Monday, right? We're talking PC Gaming Show, Ubisoft, Square Enix,
Devolver Microsoft Digital. Showcase in the morning too.
Yeah, and then I think Devolver Digital in the afternoon. So there's five or six press conferences before everything else, and then obviously rolling into Tuesday morning, first thing, Nintendo Direct, see what they have.
Yeah, definitely, man.
Yeah, so it's just gonna be nonstop, packed full of content shows. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited. It's going to be
I'm excited too,
interesting E3. Very, very interesting E3.
Yeah, very, very interesting, man. So let's talk about this, man. So this got leaked, I believe, a day or two ago that GameStop, usually they post, you know, usually a couple weeks before E3, some of the online stores will post like some new SKUs and so on. And I know I didn't send this in our email thread, but I found this out like, last night, actually yesterday. So GameStop posted already 21 SKUs, brand new SKUs of Nintendo Switch games that's hopefully going to be announced during E3, and then it's going to go live on their website. So I was doing some research, and Luigi Mansion and a couple other ones is already, they've been there since last year. So this is like brand new 21 SKUs. Unannounced games. It's not hardware. It's strictly software. There's a couple that says, I think there was one that says $39.99, $89.99, and a $199 game. Most likely it will be like a special edition or something like that. Now, I'm wondering from you guys, do you think it's going to be more from the first party or third party announcements?
I'm thinking 60-40 split. And there's going to be a combination of both. Mm-hmm. I think the $200 one thing is probably going to be something along the lines of maybe like a Zelda Collector's Edition bundle. I don't know. There's so many things that it could be that we don't know. I mean, you see all those numbers. We're thinking, you know, it could be a game, maybe two games and a controller as a bundle, you know, like maybe the Pokemon games. It could be a, you know, it could be what, it could be a bunch of things. Who knows, right? Maybe Persona 5 mm-hmm. could be coming to the Switch. Who knows? And that could be one of those things. But I'm just curious mm-hmm. to see what they're going to do from hardware. Is that $200 one? Is that going to be a smaller Nintendo Switch?
No, Switch it's Mini? It's all. I just said this, Pio, a few minutes ago, that this is strictly software. It's software. It's not hardware. Because they did some research and it's all software. Now, the thing is, usually Nintendo, they don't do the collector's edition. It's like rarely you will see that. I know they did that with Smash and a couple of the games, but it's not that many. I think that a lot of those games, those SKUs, it's probably most likely going to be third party. Maybe some ports. Like I know you said Persona 5. I could see that. I could see a lot of games. You never know. Maybe 2K announced Borderlands. You never know. Like I definitely could see that. But we already know a lot of the first party games is coming out for 2019. Paris?
I honestly don't know. I don't know. I mean, I can't tell you. I mean, it's probably is a mix. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Just want to start with that. But Paris, I know a few minutes ago we were talking about Xbox, right? 2013. Let's talk about Xbox 2019. So Phil posted a tweet saying that there were been the company been, you know, rehearsing for E3. Their press conference is happening on Sunday. So there's 14 first party games from their studios that's going to be announced at their press conference. This is going to be a 2-hour show. Your thoughts about this and what you think about that tweet, man, from Phil Spencer, man?
I think it's absolutely what they need to do, because we know that PlayStation is not going to be at E3 this year. And this is really their moment to shine, to kind of just lay out the roadmap for the next generation of gaming. They get to be the ones that take the center stage on this at E3 and lay it all out. So, of course, they've acquired so many studios over the past few years. We'll probably get a few more announcements at this show as well. Not to mention, you know, we're obviously going to see Game Pass be extended to the PC. We're going to see Project X Cloud. They got new hardware that's coming. We obviously know Gears 5, Halo. There's so many things that they need to talk about at this media briefing. So the fact that they're going to go to 2 hours is absolutely needed to truly get the messaging out clear and concise to the consumers, to let people know what they're going to do. So my guess is, yeah, they're going to talk about 14 different studios or developers is going to come out and talk about upcoming games. I would imagine that of those 14, probably a good 7 to 8 of them we can expect in the next 2 years to launch around the quote unquote launch window for the new hardware, fall 2020, a little bit before and after. And then we'll get a hint at some future things that are coming. I would not expect all 14 to be AAA games. I think we will see some smaller titles thrown in there as well, but they're going to lay out the future. Like, here are the different variety of games that you can expect coming from Xbox in the next couple years. You'll be able to play them on whatever freaking platform you want. You know, that's going to be a big thing for them too. They're not going to force you to say, hey, you got to go buy whatever Scarlet's going to be to enjoy these things. Your current Xbox One will be able to play them. Your PC will be able to play them. You can stream them via the cloud on your iPhone, iPad, Switch, or whatever. That's going to be the message that they're going to present to us, that it's about games. It's not about hardware or purchasing a specific platform. It's about play it wherever the hell you want to play it. But when you do, give us $10 a month for Game Pass, please. That's it. That's what they're going to do.
Okay. Now, I know you posted this. Actually, no. Did you talk about this during the stream last week? I posted it as a podcast about that you don't need the next-gen console in order for you to play the games. That's the rumors, that even with the Xbox One X, you could still play all these games. I think until like years later, then they're going to start working on games that's only available for Scarlet, right?
Yeah.
I know we spoke about this many times in the past.
Yeah, Windows Central posted an article earlier this week. Basically, this is all rumor. We don't know this for a fact. But... Mm-hmm. that the next, when we quote unquote hit the next gen, there won't be next gen hardware exclusive games, that your Xbox One will still be able to play those games. And it makes a lot of sense because, you know, I've been saying for the past couple of years, there is no way that Xbox, Microsoft put so much R&D into creating this Xbox One X only to ditch it a few years later. This hardware is just way too powerful to not utilize it. And it's going to be a great marketing tool for them as well going into the next gen, because they can easily say, hey, go play Halo Infinite on your Xbox One X, which, oh, by the way, is $250 now, or $200 now, or that Xbox One S is under $200 now, it's $150, whatever. They're going to be able to say that we have the cheapest way for you to play the next generation games on our hardware via Xbox One. That's what they're going to say. But then they can also on the higher end say, but look at what Scarlett can do, and it's $500, right? So they're going to be able to capture the people that are willing to spend the money on the high end, and they're going to be able to get the cost conscious consumer as well, because they can say, you already have the hardware to play the game, go play it. It won't look as good as it does on Scarlett, but you can play it. And when you're ready to invest the money, now you can go buy Scarlett, play it there too. Or if you're a PC gamer, go play it on your PC. We don't care anymore. Just play our games. Subscribe to Game Pass, please. That's all they care. That's it.
Pete, what you think, man?
I'm probably going to be just in the same page as Paris. Honestly, it's a foregone conclusion in my personal opinion that's the route that they're going to go. And at the end of the day, think about it. It's the next evolution of how everything else is going to work out. So Don't be surprised if you see all of that. And also the way that they're talking Game Pass is coming to PC. Hey, everything you're going to have on the Xbox, you're going to have access to on your PC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Paris, what was that? What was that that he posted? Was it UP or Paris posted a Xbox Pass Ultimate? I think it is. Yeah.
I think it might have been Paris.
Yeah, that was me. Because here's the one thing that we won't find out until E3. I guess we just go into the Game Pass discussion is.
Yes, yes.
Like right now, I already have Game Pass on Xbox Game Pass until 2021, right? So with them now doing Game Pass for PC, is that still one subscription, or are they creating a PC specific? I can't even talk. Jesus Christ. Are they creating a Game Pass subscription specific? I cannot say specific for PC. And then there's one specific for Xbox for the console side. And at first I thought, no, there's no way they're going to do that. That doesn't make sense. Now I'm starting to think maybe they are, because the common denominator between the two is Xbox first party games will be playable across both. You can play it on the PC, you can play it on the console. They don't care. But I think it might be the third party agreements they have where they're splitting it up, so that if I get the PC version of the Game Pass subscription, I can play all the third party PC games, no problem, but I won't be able to then hop on the Xbox and play the third party games on console, and vice versa. So maybe there's a split there. I hope it isn't. I hope it's just one. But the reason I posted that Game Pass Ultimate was they showed that Game Pass Ultimate, which I guess if you got it monthly, is going to be $15 a month, includes Xbox Live and Game Pass on the console and the PC for $15 a month, which kind of goes to a discussion we've had in the past about this, that they need to just bundle Gold into Game Pass and be done with it. You know what I mean? So maybe that's the direction that they're going. I personally hope not. I personally hope you spend $10 a month where you subscribe to Game Pass on the PC or the Xbox. It works across both. That would be the hope, right? So it's still just $10 a month, and you're not creating two different subscription services, and now you really have a third one with Ultimate, and it starts to get a little confusing and you muddy the waters. I hope not. But now I'm worried that that's exactly what they're going to do. But like they said, we'll get more information on that at E3.
And I'm worried about also the streaming service, xCloud. Is that also going to be a separate subscription?
Yeah. Yeah, that's one more bundle you got to worry about. It's one more subscription. And this is something that I had talked about when we first started talking about the whole Game Pass and bundling thing. Mm-hmm. When you start to have multiple subscriptions that all either coincide or end on separate dates. Now you've got three different things that you've got to separate, you know, you've got three or four different, you know, subscriptions you need to manage, and, you know, you have access to one, but you don't have access to the other ones because you let them lapse or whatever. Like Paris said, I think it's high time that Microsoft says, go ahead, you know, just goes ahead and says, here's an all-in-one. Mm-hmm. You get xCloud, you get Xbox Game Pass, you get access to Xbox Live as a service, all-in-one, one inclusive price. Microsoft Ninja's getting me now. Will it be $15? Will it be worth the price of admission? I mean, obviously, as a consumer, you want it as low as possible so you can enjoy the offerings from the service. But is it worth its while for Microsoft to keep that price point at a cost palatable, obviously, to us as consumers, so that, you know, not only do you get as many people on the service, but you get that return on investment because of the good reviews that people are giving it because of the low cost, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what do you think, Danny?
Well, I think that personally, and I've been saying this now for a while, I think either Xbox Game Pass or Xbox Live Gold is part of the streaming subscription. Instead of creating a new subscription, like you need to pay just for the xCloud. I just can't see that, because I think the conversation we're having about Stadia weeks ago, I think maybe like over a month ago, Paris, I think it was during a daily conversation, is you see that as a free thing now because of Google Stadia. And I'm still sticking with that. I think that it's possible that if you get Xbox Game Pass or Xbox Live Gold, you're already paying for that service.
I think that's a smart move. If they truly want, because again, they want billions of people playing their games, not just us hardcore people that run out every year and go buy the new hardware when it's available. They want billions of people to start playing gaming. If you charge them for a new technology that, look, let's be honest, isn't going to be 100% reliable. Maybe they get into 90 percentile, but it'll never be 100% reliable, especially when it comes to being on your mobile devices and using cellular networks, things like that. If you charge me for it, I'm going to be hesitant to try it. But if it's free, I'll try it, and then maybe I get hooked on it, and then I invest and go from there. Going back on the Game Pass thing, just really quick, let's just pretend that, yeah, there are two separate subscription services for it. There's a PC one and there's an Xbox one. I'm personally going to want to invest in the PC one, because one question that comes up for me a lot, and obviously this all goes way back to 2016 when they originally started doing this Xbox Play Anywhere. They've made it abundantly clear, like I've said, they don't care where you play their games. So for me, moving forward, I don't even necessarily know if I get Scarlet right away, unless I'm getting it for my kids, because I'm going to play all these games on the PC. I'm not going to play them on the console. So it'd be better for me to invest in the PC version of Game Pass, because I'm going to get all the Microsoft games, and there's going to be some third-party PC games that I'll be able to play as well. Not to mention that they're also bringing this to Steam. I know they threw some slight shade at the Epic Store. Maybe it comes to the Epic Store, GOG, etc. Microsoft is getting into making this a true PC experience, where we don't care what digital platform store you get it from. We don't care what platform you're using on. Just play the games. And that works better for me, because, like I said, I wouldn't get the Xbox one, because I don't necessarily see me playing that many third-party games on console anyways. I'm going to play them on the PC, so I might as well do Game Pass on the PC. That just seems to work out better for me. So if they do the two SKUs, I get it. I understand it, because they're trying to attract the PC audience in to also play with the console audience. But I do hope it's just one price. I really hope it is. But if it isn't, I'll be a little disappointed, but I get it.
Now, I know that there was a lot of gaming announcements the past few days now, right before E3, instead of doing it at the show. But I know there was a rumor that was posted by Jason Schreier, I think, on Kotaku, about the release date of Cyberpunk 2077. It's going to be spring of 2020, according to him. Not confirmed yet, from CD Projekt Red. And it looks like more and more games is coming out around the same time, the spring 2020 time. And it's going to be a lot of good games though releasing around there, man, around that time. So do you think that's a smart move, man, releasing it early 2020 instead of during the holidays, or wait until the next gen console? Do you think that's
I've been saying that since last year, since they announced it. Just makes sense. I think that's a smart window.
Why not release it during the holidays?
Because do we want to get into this conversation? Because you know what I told you earlier this week. Because you know what the GOAT still going to be. The GOAT still lives. Call of Duty is going to be the highest selling game this year. Why compete with it? Just put it on the spring.
You've got a title that's been so highly anticipated, not just from the hardcore market, right? The folks like Paris and I, but the hype machine behind Cyberpunk 2077 is legitimate, right? There's people who don't have the regular access to gaming Twitter and don't normally go that know about Cyberpunk 2077. It's not a small niche thing. Knowing that it's coming from I'll go out and say it, a Mount Rushmore of gaming developer in CD Projekt Red. You saw what they were able to do with The Witcher 3, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Tom Brady. You could still put that out there on there and it'll still compete against games right now as best of breed, right? Mm-hmm. There's so much anticipation out there. It doesn't need the holiday hype machine to help push numbers. It's going to do that on its own. So like Paris said, why bother? Why bother having to fight with the Call of Duties and the Battlefields and all of the other regular yearly releases that come out during that time? Let it own the spring. You think anybody else is going to want to release around the time of Cyberpunk 2077? You think any other game other than a title like a Call of Duties?
The Last of Us 2 is coming out spring 2020. That's the rumor, because of Death Stranding is coming out November.
Yeah, well, whatever about Death Stranding. I'm still trying. I watched the trailer again this morning. I still have no idea what the hell is going on. Okay. But as far as Cyberpunk 2077, yeah, mm-hmm. it's gonna have its own release cycle. It doesn't care. CD Projekt Red has zero concerns about who it needs to release against, while also protecting its ability to sell by releasing it separately from that holiday sales cycle. Remember, mm-hmm. not everybody has the free capital to go ahead and just buy six titles during the holiday seasons.
No.
So parents are going to be like, which one do we get? And little Johnny or little Jenny is going to have to make that decision. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, here's the thing. Ubisoft always released something during spring. So that's, I don't know if they will release like a big title or maybe year two of The Division 2 or whatever they plan to announce during E3. So is that Ghost of Tsushima, The Last of Us 2, Cyberpunk 2077, a Final Fantasy 7 remake, which that's a big one for the PlayStation fans especially. I mean, there's going to be a lot of games coming out around that time, man. So save your money, man. It's gonna be a lot of games, man. Especially Cyberpunk 2077. Holy crap! But not only that, I think I was talking to was it Paris? I think we were talking about CD Projekt Red also releasing, the rumor is, The Witcher 3 on the Nintendo Switch. Most likely, that's gonna happen. Maybe. What, fall of 2019? Do you guys still believe that's going to happen? Do you think that's a fake rumor or what? Everything, is it possible that game's coming out?
Yeah, it's really looking like that's going to happen. And yeah, I guess they could drop it, you know, this fall, winter, whatever the case may be. Just another option to be able to play. Like my thing is pretty simple. If they're able to pull off that, you know, like, I'm not expecting it to have PC ultra settings or whatever, but you know, if it can replicate the way that The Witcher 3 looks on Xbox One, as an example, and can hold a solid 30 frames per second, what an achievement. You know, even if it's at 720p upscaled, whatever, doesn't matter. But if it can do that and I can literally play The Witcher 3 on the go whenever I want, that's an amazing accomplishment. Like, imagine taking a long flight to Europe or something and being able to just jump in that game and you just play the whole time you're on the plane or something. That's going to be amazing accomplishment if they do it. The side note that I put on that was, if they're able to do that, might as well just put Gwent on the Switch as well. I mean, have that local multiplayer support too. Mm-hmm. It'd be fantastic. I would love to see that, which, again, just speaking of CD Projekt Red as a whole, they've said repeated times that this E3 2019 is the most important in the history of the company. Obviously, Cyberpunk is going to take the center stage on that, which is why we're pretty sure we're going to get some kind of release, you know, launch window, release date, something like that. But look at their other titles. Obviously, The Witcher is huge for them. Gwent is another huge IP for them. So I expect multiple announcements from them at this E3. So like you said, this Witcher announcement on the Switch just makes a lot of sense. I would expect them to do something similar with Gwent as well. Just why not?
So yeah. Just to play devil's advocate, we've known about or been anticipating Cyberpunk 2077 for 7-8 years now. Do they need to release a launch window at this E3? Why?
Because if they're going to put it out before the next E3, you start building that anticipation. You put a stamp on when fans can expect the game to come out. I mean, I know they've always said it's ready when it's ready, but if they can at least give people a target to anticipate, all they got to do, all that trailer has to do at the Xbox press conference when they show it, is end and say spring 2020. That's all it has to say. That's it. Then people know. We're all going to go crazy. That's it. Yeah. They don't have to put an exact date. They don't have to say February 22nd, 2020. Just spring 2020. That's it.
And they could do that maybe Gamescom closer to 2020, right, Paris? Like they'll go to those events and then show a trailer or show the same gameplay that we might see at E3. Yeah. You know, change it up a bit.
They could do the Game Awards with Keeley. There's a lot of different avenues they can do. But at least now they just set the template to let people know it's going to be out around this time. So get ready. And then, you know, I'm sure the whole marketing campaign kicks into full gear by the end of this year.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's go with another announcement. So the release date of Death Stranding, November 8th, I believe, right? Am I correct?
November
8th of 2019. So I watched the trailer. It was good, but I'm still confused about the game. So maybe it would change my opinion once I actually play the game. But Paris, I know you said that you read, because I saw your tweets, you read the description about the game. Did it change your mind? I don't know, P, if you read that or not, because I know you said you talked about the trailer, but your thoughts, man, about that, about the actual game.
It hasn't changed my mind on, am I going to run out on November 8th and pick it up day one? I still don't feel that way. It's funny. Again, it's because you got to think of it this way. It's Kojima. We know it's going to be weird. But my thing has been, they have talked about this game for so many years at this point, and I've yet to see what the gameplay loop is going to be. That's all I want to see at this point. Let me see what the gameplay loop's going to be, and then maybe I can go ahead and fully invest. The irony was, I was reading an actual description of what the gameplay loop potentially is going to be, and that has me a lot more intrigued on what Death Stranding is going to be. As an example, you don't really die in the game. When you quote unquote die, it's basically like Stranger Things. You go to the Upside Down and you basically have to fight your way back into the real world. And the whole thing about Death Stranding, the theme is this connection, connecting everything, bringing these strands together, restoring society. I like the direction that Kojima is going with that. I like that there's a passive online component to it as well, where, you know, everyone's going to play like their main story campaign, but then there's going to be this online component where we basically can help other people in their game sessions as well. But, you know, adding in supplies and restocking things of that nature. You have to go read the description to get the exact quote on that. But that had me intrigued enough to say, maybe this could be some next gen type of thing, that gameplay loop that we've never truly experienced before. I truly hope that there's some puzzle solving elements to it, some complex mechanics, and not just smash the A button, shoot, pew, 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 and the thing dies. I hope there's some intriguing boss battles, things of that nature. And obviously, again, we know Kojima is going to have a complex and weird story, and you just see that through the trailer. So that I'm very fine with. But the one question, again, because, you know, I like to get people mad at me on Twitter. The one question I asked on Twitter after the trailer came out is, if this game didn't have Kojima attached to it, if it was just random unknown developer at 2K Games that put out this game and we had seen this amount of years of just these weird trailers and no real gameplay like Walking Simulator 2019, would people still be excited about it? I'm going to say they would not be.
You
can't tell me they would be. If we didn't know what this game was after this amount of years and it wasn't a big name behind it,
yep, 100%.
We would be like, what is this? We don't know what this is. No one would be excited about it coming out on November 8th. But with all that said, it is Kojima. He does have the track record. So, of course, people are going to be excited about that. I will personally contend Kojima has not put out a compelling gameplay since Metal Gear Solid, the first one, 98.
Wow, this is 1998.
That's what I say, because yeah, because Metal Gear Solid 2 wasn't that great when you really go back and think about it. I know people get mad when I say Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater. I don't think it was that great. Name me the game. I'm just being blunt about it. Obviously, Kojima is his visionary and everyone, you know, I get all that. When was the last, not weird story, you're picking up the controller and you're actually playing the game. When was the last compelling gameplay loop from Kojima? I dare you. I dare you to tell me.
Yeah.
Please
remember,
tell me.
Hit up Vicious696 on Twitter. Vicious696 on Twitter. Hey, look, Paris, I agree with you, man. I agree with a lot of things, man. So, Pete, your thoughts, man. You think... My question to you about that, Pete. Is if this wasn't a PlayStation exclusive or it wasn't Kojima, you think people still going to be excited or not? Really?
I agree with Paris in the way he said that. I mean, if it was Bubba's Game Development House, if this was just Bubba Games coming out of Topeka, Kansas, do you really think there would be any hype or excitement for this title?
No, you got
what looks like a baby coming out of booty. You have no idea what the hell. There's no way that if it doesn't have Kojima's name on here, that this doesn't have all this excitement and hype for it. There's no way. It's 100% for that.
I can give you this comparison. The first time I saw BioShock, I had no idea who the hell Ken Levine was. I had no idea he had this history with System Shock and all that stuff, right? I just saw this world that he created and what it was going to be. Didn't matter who made it. I just knew I had to play that, right? I look at Death Stranding, and again, take Kojima out of it. What the hell am I looking at? What is this baby poking his head out and sucking his thumb and jumping back in? Why is this dude
The Walking Dead?
Why is this dude walking everywhere? What is going on? That would be my questions that I would be saying. I don't know what this is. Sure, as a teaser, I get it. Dude, when did they first start talking about Death Stranding? I mean, I'm not even kidding.
3 years ago? Three, four years ago?
Was it 2016, 2015?
It was 2016, that. I think. Yeah, it was 2013. No, I'm sorry, 2015.
Yeah, 2015.
2015.
So again.
4 years.
Kojima's not attached to that. Take all the trailers you got, and here we get up to 2019, and they finally drop the release date. It's not Kojima. Are you excited about it? And that's a question that people have to ask individually. There's no right or wrong answer to this, right?
Yeah.
Personally, I'm like, I still don't know what the hell this is. That's what I would be saying. Why would I want to go pick that up on November 8th over Call of Duty Modern Warfare? That's the question I would be asking. Or Watch Dogs 3 or whatever the hell else is going to be out then.
In watching that trailer, and you asked about the gameplay loop, right? Or boss battles, and obviously those BTs or whatever those ghosts are, right? Those demon form wraith fighter peoples, whatever they are, they're only visible by the character Sam when he hooks into the baby, because the baby has that connection to the alternate universe dimension, whatever. So that is, I think, the boss level loop, right, where you have to be connected in order to fight the boss, but you can't always be connected to the baby because it takes you between dimensions or whatever, right? Like being connected to it too long pulls you in, whereas that's why he's only connected to it for short periods of time, just to fight those bosses. That's the only thing that I could.
Why? What happened?
I just saw the fakest Twitter thing, and I'm sorry, Pete. Please continue. I'll say it. What the hell just happened?
What the hell just happened?
So I think that's the only way that That's the only gameplay loop that I can discern out of watching the trailer. I'm probably 100% wrong. I have no idea what the hell is going on. You know, having tried watching this trailer several times, you know, trying to follow, you know, people, you know, watching videos on YouTube of their reactions and what they think is going on, you know, trying to deep dive into Reddit and nobody knows. Nobody has a clue. I'm still of the belief that Kojima's still, you know, half-assing it and still trying to figure out what he wants to do at the end. So that by the time the game does launch at the end of this year, there's some kind of games as a service where he keeps feeding gameplay over time until he can figure out what it's going to be.
I'm not saying this is the case with Death Stranding, but I just want to use this as an example for consumers to do not be fooled by what you see in trailers and all that until you actually see someone with a controller in their hands playing the game. Do not be fooled. And this goes for any game. Look at the lessons learned we got from Anthem. Period. The trailer they showed us at E3 was 100% fake. Even the BioWare developers were like, wait, that's what we're making? Crap. We got to get started. As a recent example of where they will tell us what we want to hear, but then when the actual game came out, it's not the case. And I'm not saying this is what Kojima's been doing. I'm saying Kojima, I'm sure he's making a masterpiece. We've heard enough hints from people that have seen what they're actually doing that seem to be blown away about it. But I will not be convinced personally to give them my $60 until I see someone holding a DualShock 4 in their hands and they're actually going through and playing the game. But that's just me. But that's how I feel about all games now. Even Cyberpunk. Look, I'll tell you this. For anyone that hasn't seen Cyberpunk 2077, that hasn't had a chance, obviously, to go behind closed doors thing, the only reason I am so excited about that game for that 48-minute demo that's online right now is because I saw a person holding a controller in their hands and playing that game. So I know it's real. And that's how, look, 2019, 2020, that's how we got to look at this stuff now. All the sparkle and glitter they show you at these media briefings is, I hate to even use the term, it's all fake news. It ain't real until they're actually playing it. It's not. So that's the caution I give for any game that we see now. Hell, even remember the original Division, that was freaking fake. That wasn't even real.
Was it Watch Dogs? Remember Watch Dogs?
Watch Dogs. That wasn't real. There's so many examples of this where they show you one thing to get you excited, but then the actual game.
Remember the mobile tablet people for the first Division, right? Being able to cross platform that and have, look, I'm just going to come in on my little drone on my tablet and help out with, you know, that. Yeah, that, and that never made it in. Would have been a cool feature, but it never made it in.
Well, I have one and. Were you at that E3, Paris, when they showed Halo 2 gameplay?
Yes. I went through that demo like four times.
You were hyped for that, but it wasn't available in the game. So what is the difference between that demo, which never came out, the actual like level and stuff in Halo 2? Why you were so hyped at that time? But you're still saying all these games that they've been showing at E3 is fake. That was fake too, kind of, no?
Wait, what are you
saying? Halo 2, the gameplay.
But that's another example of them putting out a fake game. That's my point.
But you were hype for that. You were super hype. What was also
15 years ago, though, Danny.
I wasn't
even podcasting yet when that came out.
I don't get, and again,
I'm not trying to be a smartass. I'm trying to understand your point because that's exactly what I'm saying. Where you go to E3 and they show you these fake demos, but then when the actual game comes out, it's not real. That actually is one of the early examples of this is that Halo 2 demo. Bungie didn't even have Halo 2 wasn't even a game yet when they literally made that demo just for E3. They didn't have a game yet. They basically had that demo. It got everyone excited, went back up to freaking Seattle and was like, oh, my God, now we got to actually make this for real. Can we do it?
Yeah. And we learned that it was fake after the game came out because, like, wait a minute, where's that level? It's not in the game.
That is in the game, kind of, sort of. If you go play Halo 2, they kind of, sort of have it in there. And let's just put it this way. It don't look nothing like what they had in that demo. Let's just put it that way. They tried to recreate it, but they couldn't.
Okay. All right. Now, Call of Duty, new game. was also announced. Wait, what's up with all these games being announced right before E3? Pete, Call of Duty guy.
I love it. I love the fact that they're doing all of this, these reveals prior to, because it preempts all of the leaks that come out. I'm sure there's still going to be a handful that publishers or developers are keeping close to their vest, just because, you know, they want to have that extra secret special sauce at their conferences. Mm-hmm. But I like this. I like the fact that it actually gets ahead and it gives that it leaves that reveal to the individual company that's doing it. I think it's a good thing for them at the end of the day. Now, going to Call of Duty.
And with the name, Modern Warfare 2 also.
Modern Warfare.
Yes.
You already had a Call of Duty Modern Warfare. You already had the 4 in there, right? So you can't really use, you know, Modern Warfare 4, although this would have been Modern Warfare 4, I guess. But honestly, seeing Price up there with his cigar and everything, hearing the night vision goggles, similar to the Splinter Cell sound, it got me hyped. I'm not gonna lie, it harkened back to that first Modern Warfare title from Infinity War, and it got me excited. I'm no lie. Maybe it's because it's bringing back the single player component, and it's giving you all those feels, you know, the covert, you know, group tactics of Call of Duty going back to, and I hate to use the term that they used last year with, or the last 2 years with them going back to World War with Sledgehammer, but this, for me personally, I know other people liked other versions of it, but for me, this was going back to the roots of Call of Duty, that this is, you know, the Call of Duty that started it all from a multiplayer perspective and just lit the fire in the gaming world. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see what happens. Now, am I still somewhat burnt out on Call of Duty titles? Yes. Am I hesitant to jump, you know, feet first into another title that potentially I'll only play for the first 2 or 3 weeks and then abandon it because it really hasn't changed? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's there. Right. I'm tired of getting burnt by games, right? For under promising and under delivering, or over promising and under delivering. So I come into it with some hesitation, but that's not to say that I am excited to see what the storyline is going to be, because this is, for me, my Call of Duty. And I like,
Have you been reading the previews about the game?
Like some of them, I don't know if I want to. I kind of want to go into E3. Hopefully, they reveal something.
And be surprised
and be surprised about it. And again, kind of, sort of similar to like Destiny and all the other games. I don't want to go into E3, play a buttload of them, and then be burnt out by the time the game launches. Right? I kind of want to go in and
I'll mention one crossplay.
That is huge. That is going to be huge. The ability to play cross-platform, even including mobiles, if it happens.
Yeah. See, that,
Paris,
that's
Paris has got the thing. Paris has got the
Oh, Paris is like, I have the pen. I'd like to say something very quick.
He's ready. What you got?
All right, Paris, go for it, man.
No, he just lead it right into it. The biggest thing to come out of this with Modern Warfare is the fact that it's going to do crossplay, which has repercussions beyond just Call of Duty. If what will be, Danny, the biggest game of 2019, sales wise,
he still says it,
is doing, because you argued this offline with me, which I'm gonna call you out. You're gonna say why you don't think it will be. The point is this: Call of Duty Modern Warfare obviously is going to be a huge game in 2019, right? It is going to be leading the charge along with Fortnite for crossplay. Activision is the one that's actually doing it. PlayStation obviously is full on board with this. This opens the floodgates as we go into next gen, right? It is going to be the expectation now that your multiplayer games are doing some form of crossplay moving forward. We obviously know that Microsoft is a big component of this as well. Borderlands 3, even though it's not been officially announced, is supposedly also doing crossplay. Which, hey, you guys know I love... almost cursed. Sorry. you guys know I love Destiny. That contract, I believe, with PlayStation runs out this fall, the exclusive deal. There's no excuse for them anymore either. They need to start doing crossplay as well. I know they got a big announcement coming this week on June 6th about the future of Destiny 2 and all that stuff. Now that they have their full independence, a lot of people are hoping that they announce some form of it as we go into this fall, but I fully expect it for Destiny 3. But just name your favorite multiplayer game moving forward. It needs to do crossplay. If it doesn't, what are you doing? That's what people are going to be saying now. And I know people worry about crossplay with PC and all that. Gears 4, ironically enough, set up a great template for how this can work. You basically, and I know Fortnite does it now, you basically can opt in. If you want to opt in, if you feel that you're good enough with a controller to compete against people with mouse and keyboard, go do it. But if you don't want to do that, you're not going to be forced to do it. That's the way. But as far as on a console level, between Xbox, Switch, you know, PlayStation, have at it. And if you want to bring PC in, you can do that too. That's the future. That's where we need to go. Again, it's not about the platform that you play on. Buy the game wherever the hell you want. Just go enjoy it. That's what they're going to start doing now for moving forward. And the fact that Call of Duty is the one that's holding the flag and running with it, it's going to force everyone else to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it all started with Fortnite. All started with that, man. Well, actually, no. Before that was, well, of course, yeah, Gears. But yeah, before Night.
We can even go before that. Now, what was it? Shadowrun. Shadowrun on Xbox with PC. You know, they championed that.
Do you think that game was ahead of its time, man?
Yes, 100%. It was.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, but a lot of people made fun of that game, but there was Paladino, a lot of cool things.
That's still Paladino's top five game of all time right there.
for those that don't know, he's a friend of ours and stuff. We used to make fun of him. He used to work for Microsoft at that time. But yeah, that game was like the first crossplay where you could play Windows and Xbox.
Cross-platform.
Yeah, that was the first time. So why do you saying it was ahead of its time for you guys?
I mean, it was... I guess you could say it's similar to what Destiny was, but for the Xbox One, right? Or the Xbox 3, the original Xbox 360. Just the ability to play a fantasy, I guess, shooter, right? Uh-huh. You know, and it's just it checked a lot of boxes for a lot of people, right? That early back then. And again, the ability to play seamlessly between, you know, console and platform and PC was ahead of its time. Right. And it was what started it off for a lot of other things. You know, yes, there's other games that allowed it to do that. But for the most part, to be able to do that. And then you have, you know, like now Rocket League, you have Epic with Fortnite, with which I don't know does Fortnite still have the cross-plat or did they kill off that server? OK,
I play with my nephew all the time. Like I'm on my Xbox. He's playing on the Switch.
Right.
And they do it across mobile too.
Yeah. And mobile as well. And so, you know, being able to do all of that. And now, like you guys said, having a developer and having a title, having the GOAT, I kind of want to have like a GOAT sound just play every time when you say GOAT.
GOAT.
On a soundboard, just like, but yeah, having a title with the cachet and the power of a Call of Duty, having cross-plat. A bit, you know, that cross-plat ability, it's just going to usher that in for more. Now that it's not just, you know, Fortnite, now you've got two powerhouse titles that are gonna, it's gonna usher in this new era of cross-platform compatibility. And I'm glad to see that it's coming. Sorely needed.
All right, so we have one more topic and it's time for E3 predictions.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. The guys at Gamertag Radio have pulled me out of retirement to give them some free readings. So I've been using the power of the tarot cards to look into the future, baby. You hear me?
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
And it's about Ubisoft. So we watched a video that was also available on Twitter and on YouTube. They basically announced almost everything they're going to have. But there was a very short clip at the end where they teased that they might have one or two gaming announcements. But they showed updates from The Division 2, For Honor. What other game they're showing? Rainbow Six.
Why don't you just let us do our predictions and...
No, that's not a prediction. That's in the video, Pete. This has nothing to do with the predictions yet. But there's going to be game updates for those games. But what do you think will be the game announcements?
Watch Dogs 3.
I think that's the worst kept secret right now between data mining, the clues that have been left in other games outside of the whole thing. I think we're going to see that. Skull and Bones. I think we should. I think we're definitely going to see something Skull and Bones related.
No, they already said no.
Like they're going to have zero Skull and Bones content.
Yep. Zero.
Because it was supposed to come out this year and it got pushed. So
no, but that was part of what they came out and said. It's been delayed. Don't expect it at E3.
Yeah.
All right. Well, obviously we're going to see Ghost Recon Breakpoint. I think we'll see the Division 2 Episode 2, the Pentagon Last Castle reveal.
Episode one? We haven't done Episode 1 yet.
I could have sworn the raid was Episode 1. And the invaded mission.
No.
All right. Well, I know nothing. I'm Jon Snow. Beyond Good and Evil 2. I think we finally see.
I think they're going to have release a stream date.
I think it'll be playable. I think it's a good opportunity now. There's been so much time that whole collaboration with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I think I got his name right, with his little creator camp thing. I think that's really, really dope. But at the end, because Ubisoft always does this, they have their presentation and then at the end they tease the unknown. Mm-hmm. Give me the three green lights already. And the sound effect for Splinter Cell. Just make it happen already, please.
Yeah, man. That's what I'm saying.
And if they don't do that, give me Rayman. Give me a new Rayman.
I agree with you, Pete, with that. With Splinter Cell, I think it's time. It is time. But I also, I am going to stick with Mario Rabbids. I know there was a leak for another game that it's going to be announced at their press conference. I think it's kind of like similar to like Rocket League, Rollerblade type gameplay. Mm-hmm. I forgot the name of it, but I still feel that it's possible that we might see Mario Rabbids 2 announced maybe during the Nintendo Direct or maybe at Ubisoft press conference, one of the two. So what about you, Paris? Because the thing is, they already announced a lot of things, so it's pretty hard to talk about E3 predictions once a lot of things have already been announced.
And actually, before Paris jumps in, the one surprise that I saw in that video trailer, Steep. I saw a little snippet of a Steep piece, and I was like, really? Anyways, that's it. I just wanted to throw that out there. I doubt Steep was going to be on the top of Paris' prediction list, but let's go. Go ahead.
It was.
Steep.
Steep. Okay. Steep 2.
That's all he had.
The Frostening. That's all I got. Okay. No, I mean, it's what you're saying. The fact that all these companies are getting out ahead of E3 with a lot of these announcements, it takes away some of the surprise of what we can expect. Like I said, Watch Dogs 3 is just the worst kept secret in gaming at this point. We know it's going to be in London. The time frame, it just matches up that's what we're getting. We already know about Ghost Recon. We already know that Ubisoft supports their previous titles. So to get future updates on them just makes sense. A Mario Rabbids 2 makes a lot of sense if we were to get some kind of announcement on that. Maybe we get an update on Beyond Good and Evil 2. Maybe there's a new IP announcement they potentially could have, but do they do it now or do they wait until 2020 when the next gen consoles come out? There's a lot of intrigue on what Ubisoft could potentially do, but I think surprise wise, there won't be a lot. You know, there might be a couple, but I mean, the biggest one, like I said, is Watch Dogs 3, which is something, if the rumors are true, I'm highly anticipating for the fall. I absolutely would want to play that when it comes out.
And is that the right time to release? Let's make believe Watch Dogs.
Yeah, it's 3 years. Fall. It's three years.
No, I'm talking about the release because Call of Duty and all these other games. But then if you push it early 2020, then it has to compete with Cyberpunk and a bunch of other games too. The Last of Us.
I mean,
and,
I mean, from a way that Ubisoft has presented that game, they've always presented it as a big AAA game. I mean, the previous two have always released in the fall, similar to like an Assassin's Creed for them. So mm-hmm. I don't see them blinking and backing away from Call of Duty. I bet you it'll release either 2 weeks before or 2 weeks after Call of Duty. They're not going to launch at the same time from them. They'll avoid that. But the fact that we don't have a Red Dead competitor also in the mix, I think they're okay putting it out in the fall. I mean, we'll see what Bethesda does as well during the fall. But yeah, like you said, why push it into what will then become a very crowded spring 2020 if they were to delay it? Because again, if the rumors are true, if The Last of Us 2 and Cyberpunk both come out in the spring, do you really want to compete with that? Not to mention they're probably going to be putting out season 2 of The Division 2 around that time. We know there's going to be some For Honor stuff, new season of Rainbow Six, things like that. So yep. They already have a lot of stuff that's in that window as it is.
Not to mention Trials Rising. I'm pretty sure we're going to see stuff because we saw that in that teaser trailer that they dropped.
Oh, yes.
Obviously, yeah. We're going to get another Just Dance 2020 this time, you know, because
yeah, that's it, every year. Yeah,
that's a yearly drop as well. And like we mentioned earlier, you know, For Honor and new season. I'm curious who they're going to bring out. Like what kind of, you know, like fighters are we going to see in For Honor now coming up to this new season? And
yeah,
I know we joked joked and shaded it. But I mean, seeing that little snippet of Steep, I'm not going to be surprised if we see something new for Steep as well. So,
well, yeah, they'll support it. I mean, it won't take up a huge chunk of the press briefing, I'm sure. But now going to the Splinter Cell thing, I think the most we'd get, and they'd probably do this at the Microsoft press conference, is backwards compatibility announcements for the old games. I could see that, you know, with upscaling them to 4K, doing that whole thing. That would be great. Beyond that, anything new, the most we would get is they would just go show the thing and that's it. We don't hear nothing else. Because
at the end of the press conference,
even if they do it, like, and like I said, I would love to see a Rayman new title announcement. And then just end the conference with just the sound effect. You don't even have to show me the three lights. Just like, you know, the trailer ends and the next thing you know, you hear, doeep, lights on, done, have a nice night. Boom.
And put the year, put 2020 or
no, you don't even have to do that. Just tease it with the sound effect and maybe just like I said, the three lights, rap, money throws all over you. You see wallets hitting the, you know, what is it, he's going to be like pelleted, you know, he's going to get, you know, beamed with people throwing wallets and credit cards at him all day long.
All right. So I think that's about it from our prediction point of view. Anything else from that or no? So we can move on and just wrap it up.
Sure. Since we're talking Ubisoft, I completed Operation Dark Hours under Division 2. I've done the raid. Have you guys?
No.
No, I haven't. I've been super, super busy. Can't say much, but yeah.
Yeah, I was traveling. Sorry, I didn't have time.
I know. That was just my a-hole thing because I know you have.
Yeah. I know.
Also, noticed you deleted. I also said you're throwing shade. I noticed you threw away. You deleted the first video you put up.
What video? What are you talking about?
I don't know. You put up a trailer and you added me, and then I responded back. And
oh no, because I had a typo in it.
Ah.
Yeah, that's why. But then I reposted it. No, it's still there. Eat it, Pete. It's up there. It's still people to consume. I haven't. Matter of fact, now you're gonna make me go put it in the chat. Okay, let me find it.
Chat. But yeah, I would like to play it, man, but I just haven't had time, man. And I can't wait for E3. I think this is going to be a very special E3. I don't know what's going to happen after that, if they're going to move it to another location or what. Nobody knows. But it's going to be a very interesting one. I'm excited. So we're going to post one more show, hopefully maybe Wednesday, maybe Thursday. I gotta figure it out. More of like a daily conversation right before E3, and then get ready for nonstop content. If you're subscribed to the podcast, you're going to get everything. You know, last year, I mean, it was three of us. We posted more than 50 plus episodes last year. I think it was 54 in total for during the week of E3. But, you know, it's only going to be P and I during the week of E3, but I think Paris is going to be joining us pre-E3 stuff. So we're going to have some content. Just stay tuned. Gamertag Radio. Make sure to subscribe and follow us on every podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio and get ready. And if you still would like to still continue to donate, go to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Pete, any updates with that? Shout outs to the listeners that have been supporting.
Check real quick. No, we have no more donations. No, we do have a bunch of bits.
All right. Have been shout
donated.
Them out.
Shout out to M Upsider 9000 donated 9000 or I'm sorry 1000 bits. BMAC 8 donated 20 bits. Astro Boy donated 500 bits, and then we have Arctic just now donated 100 bits. Nasty Bits subscribed with Twitch Prime for 5 months, and to Crane subscribed for 23 months. That's nearly 2 years. Rasta Killer subscribed with a tier one. Furious 5 resubscribed with Amazon Prime. Conqueror of Worlds tier one for 16 months in a row. Durat 22 months resubscribed with Twitch Prime. Thank you, each and every one of you. You don't have to do it, but you do, and you chose to do it here with us, and we truly, truly appreciate it. Thank you all.
Definitely, definitely. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Until next time, see you on Gamertag Radio and at E3. Maybe if you're there, please give us a shout out. Come up to us and say what's up. All right. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.